your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Peter Buchvar. Boy, oh boy, we covered a lot. And the look ahead to this year, which is just really has so many question marks around it. But hey, that's going to make it fun to follow along with inflation, central bank policy, and market moves because, well, we definitely saw some more volatility at the tail end of this week. We're switching focus a little bit. We're going to focus in these last two segments a little bit more specifically on the resource sector. And I'm happy to report I am bringing back onto the show Kai Hoffman, CEO of Solar Financial Group. Now, Kai, you and I chat on a fairly regular basis, and you're really my go-to guy when it comes to breaking down some of the summary of financings in the resource sector. That's one thing that I think anyone who follows the sector closely has noticed is that last year, boy, oh boy, a lot of money was raised. Even 2 years ago, there was still a lot of money raised, especially at the tail end of 2020 and then into 2021. But this year, we're still seeing some big deals being announced, but I know a lot of the juniors, or at least some of the juniors, are having trouble raising money, and they're getting a bit tighter with their funding of programs, really anything, because they are seeing the outlook of maybe they won't be able to raise money with the amount of ease that there was in the last about year and a half. Can you give us some insights and compare the financings that we're seeing early on this year, even at the tail end of last year, to that pretty massive financing window that was opened up starting at the tail end of 2020?
Yeah, Corey, fantastic to be back on the program. Thanks for having me. It's been really interesting to see, because you mentioned it in your intro. There's a lot of uncertainty in the sector and a volatility. Like volatility, of course, from the main markets. Nobody knows really where it is going. Is the Fed going to hike 25 basis points, 50 basis points, and what is it going to do to the gold price? That really dictates sentiment. And I think we have seen that hesitancy in the last few weeks here, or the beginning of the year, actually, in the junior mining sector as well, because financing have been a bit sluggish. We have seen a couple bigger financings, as you mentioned. Obviously, headline news is the big Osisko development financing this week that's been upsized a couple times, raising $200 million. And if you throw it all in one pot for the year, that's roughly 50%. Of overall financing is just but done by one deal. And that's a bit scary to see. It's good to see that there is money available, but it also means that there's no money available for the smaller companies. And I've been speaking with a lot of companies over the last few weeks, and there's still hesitancy of going actually out to the market and asking for money. So companies, the reason for that is multifold. And one of them is they're still waiting for results. They don't know how to plan their year yet, but also that insecurity, that uncertainty in the market, and just the feedback from investors. We don't see it. There's no buying overall in the market yet. Although we see gold exploding today, we're touching 1860 as we're speaking here. I think it'll take a while for that to trickle down in investor sentiment and translate into dollars.
Well, and let's see if this pop in gold at the tail end of this week is simply just geopolitics coming out of Russia and Ukraine. But again, back to the financings here. Have you seen any certain sectors that seem to be leading the way or have garnered a bit more interest from investors, maybe outside of gold, since gold has been so boring for well over a year now?
Yeah, boring is a good word. Yeah, it's sluggish and boring, to be honest. Yeah, the top deal actually so far this year is a lithium deal. It's Rocktech Lithium raising over $52 million, or close to $53 million. And until the Osisko deal was announced, that was 25% of all financings, followed by a copper gold deal, followed by a nickel deal. So that tells you that maybe the investor eyeballs are on other sectors within the commodity space. Gold will have to come back into the spotlight. I think it's trying this week, but battery metals, battery materials are catching a lot of bids right now as well, garnering the attention. If I look at my Twitter feed as well, there's a lot of activity in that space. And it's good to see, like the sector needs it. We could use a couple more copper financings, to be honest, bigger ones as well. We need more copper mines. But the lithium space, also a lot of graphite deals were done also last year. That is interesting to see personally, because I've been burned in 2015, 2016 by the battery material space. I'm glad to see it take off now. And it seems like the market seems to understand that it's not good to just invest in charging stations. You actually need the materials to build those things as well.
Really does sound like it's all coming around that green movement, though, that is getting a whole new wind behind it, especially when it comes to the financings. Any insights on the smallest companies, though, or some of the real junior exploration companies? We've already touched on it earlier that we've definitely heard from management that they're having trouble raising money, but anything that stands out to you in terms of the lack of interest right now for the smaller exploration plays?
I think we're seeing smaller financings happening, but they're all coming with juicy warrants as well. So companies really have to peacock in that regard. Like, you do have to hand out 5-year warrants. And that's something, like, from a company perspective, you don't want to do, but that shows desperation as well. And you might not be able to raise the full amount. And looking at the valuations of some of the companies and the share price developments, because the sentiment was so bleak, they don't want to raise more than that as well. So they'll try to raise the bare minimum. If they can even raise that. I've seen a lot of tranche closings and tranche financings, meaning like they're opening a financing but have to close in various tranches because it just takes forever to close. And that is something we're witnessing right as well. So we don't see an overall broad market rally in that regard. And the juniors, the smaller end of the spectrum, will have a hard time financing.
Does that have you worried? Because I know that you talk to a lot of juniors. I talk to a lot of juniors as well. And there are a number of companies that have money in the bank and are doing good work, but there's also a lot of companies that are starting to run low on cash. And we've seen how desperate juniors can get before. And unfortunately, when a company's running out of money, it in no way attracts new investors to come in and buy on the open market. So what's your assessment of the overall health of the juniors in the resource space?
It is not too bad. Everybody's been saying, well, with some of the juniors, they just need to die. We need to see more M&A and consolidation. That hasn't happened, obviously. Even in 2015 or 13, 14, the really, really bad years, that consolidation or companies haven't disappeared. They always find a way to finance, raise a couple hundred grand and survive, unfortunately. And we'll see that happening throughout. It won't change. Am I concerned? No, because last year we raised $6.8 billion. That's the second highest amount of money we've raised since 2011, since we started tracking the financings with Orin Inc. And that's exceptional. So I do think companies have a real chance of creating value. And the overall financing, or the average per financing, was actually fairly high as well. It's been over $5 million. So in theory, those dollars should be used for drill programs and studies, technical reports that should create underlying value. So far, the market is not rewarding those companies. But if that happens, I think there is good value to be had in those share prices or in those stocks that have generated that value, meaning they have put out drill results. And we're still seeing those trickle out from last summer. So I don't think we've fully seen that being priced in yet. So there is an opportunity. And if those all are fully reported, I think the sector will do a little better than it is right now. It feels like we're a bit in limbo right now.
Ooh, and the stocks have just vastly underperformed the underlying metals too. And even now, as we're seeing some good drill results come out, the market is not really popping on the back of those. At best, we get kind of a sideways or at least short-term move higher. But if those drill results are disappointing, boy, oh boy, some companies are getting punished. But hey, that's why I've been bringing on so many companies onto the show to try to outline the work that is going on. And one thing that we should bring up too is that you are hosting another SF Online. This is session 11. This is a conference where everyone can tune in online. That's happening February 16th, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Kai, can you give us a little background on who's speaking, some of the keynotes at this conference coming up, please?
Yeah, great pleasure. So we got Brian Lenny of Junior Stock Review and Jeff Clark at goldsilver.com. I had a chance to speak with Jeff just earlier this week, and he's going to touch on M&A activity in the space and whether the trend is accelerating or not. And I think he's going to have some interesting insights into that, because he's looking at, of course, the Great Bear transaction with Kinross, but also like who could be the next M&A target. And we have some companies presenting that might be on that list, or I hope are on his list. I don't know. But we got 8 different companies, like from Junior Explorer, just listed early stage greenfield exploration, to Arizona Sonoran, for example, a larger copper explorer in Arizona that just jumped 18% this week based on good, really good drill results. So there's still the possibility in the market to perform well, right? So that is interesting. And it's free to attend, obviously, but at the format is really compact, 15-minute presentations with Q&A. It's a really digestible format from 6 to 9, 3 hours, so it doesn't take all day. And I think you get a whole lot of information punched into you.
All right, Kai. Well, I will post a link within this weekend show posting where everybody can sign up and tune in to that conference. And if you have any questions for Kai regarding the conference, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. Kai, it's great chatting with you. I'm going to bring you back on the show a little bit more regularly just to highlight the financing moves, some of the changes in that financing environment, because it is one of the keys for all investors to understand just how easy or difficult it is for companies to be raising money at the current time. Kai, thanks as always for your time, man. We'll chat again soon. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Anytime.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.